Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Kamanu. Over the next few minutes, the Word of God will be taught with simplicity, power, and a sense of humor. For over two decades, Dr. Kamanu's teachings have gone throughout the world with tremendous reports coming from people whose lives have been radically impacted. Get your Bible, take notes, and allow the Holy Spirit to touch you through the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Kamanu.
We're going to talk about following God's plans. Is that all right? There are plans we need to follow. The best to follow is God's. Because he has a destination he wants you to arrive at. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, begin to minister to our hearts. Over the next several minutes, I'm asking that you'd speak to us a profound word, an in-season word, Lord. A word that is going to take us to heights that we've never been to before. Lord, I bind the spirit of fear. I come against rejection. I come against those things, Lord, that wants to keep us from doing what you've called us to do. Father, as we walk down new avenues, teach us that these are going to be new avenues for revenues. Teach us, oh God, that when we come down through these areas, we're not to be afraid. You told Joshua, you're going to walk down places you've never been before. You're going to go into places you've never been before. Don't be afraid. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. So we speak that word over the congregation today. We speak that word over those listening for this audio transmission. I speak this word over those who are viewing us, wherever they may be. Father, we thank you that when we line up with your word, we'll never get lost. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated in his presence, everybody. following God's plans. I got to tell you something. God has set up a systematic plan that will enable His children to prosper throughout the year. God has set up a systematic plan that will enable His children to prosper throughout the year. Here's His plan. This is what it's called. Giving. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. So once you learn that giving is of God, then you'll master giving and it will not hinder you anymore. We understand through scriptures that there are many hindering spirits. Money or finances has a spirit that's attached to it. This is why money controls the world. That's why the world looks at money from a value standpoint. That's why you have stock markets. That's why the stock markets over in London has an impact over what we do in America. And what happens in America has an impact of what happens over in Hong Kong and China and Japan. That's why money per se, cash, money, whether it's the yen, the won, the dollar, the tala, whether it's the paanga, it doesn't matter if it's the pesos, whatever it's called, the euro, they all have a value attached to it. So the powers that be calls the shots. So for well over 50 or 60 years, the dollar has been the finance of the world. It's been the currency of the world. You ever notice, like, when you hear them talking, they say, well, it costs $300 million U.S. And they're talking about Iran or China. Why is that? Because the dollar is the currency recognized by the world. It's the standard that everybody must attain to. However, those who are the powers that be, i.e. Federal Reserve, i.e. The World Bank, those who control the industrialized nations, they have a plan, and this is their plan. I'm going to tell you what it is. Their plan is to devalue the dollar as they bring up the value on the Chinese currency. It's happening right now. As they bring up the yen that's going to bypass the dollar, but the important one to look at is the euro. The reason the euro is very important is because in Daniel chapter 2, the amalgamated states of Europe will once again come together. They're going to be called the United States of Europe. They're going to travel from nation to nation like we do in America without any needs of passports. Oh, incidentally, in 2008, powers that be in America will make it impossible for you to travel from state to state, listen to me, without a passport. So control is beginning now in America to know the access of where you go to. Where are they traveling? Now, if we were to go to Canada, now the law is because of Homeland Security. You have to have a passport. No passport, no travel. Basically, they're telling you, no mark, no travel. And it has to be something that we, the government, has issued. You can't just go home and, you know, take a mugshot and say, oh, no, I printed my own. No. You have to be in the system. That's why God tells us through His Son, He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because everything that's of the world is attached to the world. Hence, He says in Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up treasures for yourself in heaven where none of those people and none of those things can enter. Then He says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, wherever you bury your treasure, you bury your heart. If your heart is in the kingdom of God, you have no problems. So God teaches us how to follow His plans. And the plans of God, I want to write this down, are perfect. Basically, God has laid out three ways of giving that will cause you to walk in prosperity if you faithfully do them. Give tithes, give offerings, give first fruits. Do those three things. Nobody can hold you back. You don't have to go to another loan officer in your life. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm telling you. When God wanted a people, when God wanted a nation, He went to a Gentile man called Abraham or Abram. God, because Abram, listen, the word Hebrew means to cross over. And then God says, the Hebrew talking about Abram, the Hebrew. Before he had any children, God called him a Hebrew. Now God says, I will bless him. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Abraham never saw the blessings like we see it today, like his children see it today. Abraham only lived 175 years. He didn't see all the things God said. By faith, he could see it. But in the natural, he never did. I'm going to tell you something else. Isaac didn't see all these things come to pass, nor did Jacob. Because God's a generational God, he made sure their sons would see it. Their children would see it. And not only see it, but be the recipients of what the covenant said with Abraham. Very important for you to grab this. Now, God looked for a people so that he could showcase them in front of the entirety of the world. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something. When they rejected God's ways after becoming prosperous, after receiving all the land, after getting all the houses, God says, you're going to do this to me, then I'm going to have to go get someone else. And those people I'm getting are Gentiles. They don't have a covenant with me. But I'm going to give them, watch this, God's a God of timing. I'm going to give them a 2,000-year window. So that's, in other words, when I'm using them, I will drive you into captivity. That's why the Jews went into captivity, because they had everything. They knew about first fruits. They knew about tithes. They knew about offerings, but they became arrogant. The same position we find the church in today. Sheer arrogance. Instead of giving to God, we give to ourselves. Instead of taking care of God's house, we take care of our house. Solomon was wise, but Solomon was dumb. He completed his house before he completed the house of God. I had a friend named Joe. True story. Friend named Joe. Pastor right here in this community. Started his church before ours. And we were talking to me. I remember him when he had no church. He was a hippie with no teeth. God saved this hippie that was strung out on drugs. Sent him to the dentist, put teeth in his mouth. Made him a preacher. Worked his way up. Then they got involved in wrong type of teachings. And now they wanted to build their own house. So they built him a $500,000 house back many, many years ago. 15 plus years ago. Now watch this. Then they fell into some problems. So he came to me and he said to me, I want to sell my house to you. He says, listen, my house is worth $500,000. I got teak wood. He says, it's beautiful, Paul. I want to sell you this house. You're a man of God. I said, negative. He said, what do you mean negative? I said, I made a covenant with God. I get his house before I get my house. See, I read about Solomon. I read about Solomon. That Solomon finished his house. Then he finished God's house. Never put yourself before God. Solomon's daddy made the same mistake when he took the Ark of the Covenant and walked before it. God says, I'm going to kill somebody, David. Don't you ever do that. Then David numbered the people. God says, don't you ever do that. He killed 165,000 people because of David's mistake. But out of that evil, you know what God did? He told David, I want you to go buy the threshing floor of Arona the Jebusite. This is found in 2 Samuel chapter 24. Now here's a good key for you. The Jebusite was Arona, and the reason he was a Jebusite was because Jerusalem, where this threshing floor was located, was owned by the Jebusites. It was once called Jebus. And in the 14th chapter of Genesis, when we find Abram offering up tithes and offerings to Melchizedek, it's in the city of Salem or Jerusalem. So now David goes to the right place because Abraham went to the right place. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something here. Now David goes there. He goes to Arona. David's the king. But when he first started rulership, he for 7 years ruled out of Hebron. The Jebusites still controlled Jerusalem. And they defeated everybody who came against it until David. David said, you ain't men of warrior like me, sons, because I got tenacity. He whooped the behind so bad, he took Jerusalem. Now watch this, I'm going to teach you something. Now David got the place. God says, now you need a place for my temple to be built. 2 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Chronicles 29 tells us David gave of his substance billions of dollars of gold and silver. We did that teaching some time ago. Now watch this. His son Solomon was able to build the temple of God on the threshing floor of Arona the Jebusite that was bought by David. Storyline here. When David bought it for 30 pieces or whatever it was of silver, it's in 2 Samuel 24. I can't recall the exact amount. But watch this. Arona tells him, no, I'll give it to you, king. David says, how can I offer to God something that costs me nothing? This is why our giving must cost us. I can't just because I want to give God $5, give him $5 when I got $35. If God says, give me all, that means $35 goes to God. See, it costs me something. Like we're thinking, but after service, I told so-and-so, we're going to go to such-and-such place to eat, and I ain't got the money, I ain't got my credit card, what can I do? Give to God first. It sounds like he's greedy, but God's not greedy. He's teaching you a lesson to be obedient. So David goes and he buys a threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. A threshing floor is always on a mountainous or a high level, mountainous region, or a high level where the wind blows. The temple mount is on top of the mountain. This is where Abraham went to offer up Isaac. Storyline. So now David does it. He offers up the sacrifice. And now they can take what? The Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem without a problem. Right? Now watch this. Solomon builds a temple. They build an area called Solomon's Porch. I don't know if you understand this, but I want you to do something. The Holy Spirit has been telling me the past couple of days to do something. I'm going to teach it in an upcoming lesson. But if you got a piece of paper, I just want you to work with me on this one. Draw a rectangle. Just draw a rectangle. But on the rectangle, do not enclose it. In other words, if you draw a rectangle like this, look, leave two open sides of the rectangle. In other words, just a small gap so you can go all the way. It's like a fence that has a gate. And then you continue it and come down. Okay, do that. I want to show you something very, very powerful. If you don't get this, you will never go forward. So now that you've drawn your rectangle, now watch this. You see that gate area? Okay? That gate area is the only entrance into the rectangle. Make it like that. So in other words, you got to almost like enclose the rectangle, but you leave two small entrance areas. Do you see what I'm talking about? That area inside the rectangle, listen to me, that's the temple of God. On the outside, it's called the courts of the Gentiles. This is as far as we could go, guys. This is as far as we could go. Ephesians chapter 2. I'll show you something here. Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2. Show you something here. Are you game? All right. Now watch. We're going to begin in verse 11. I want to show you something here. Ephesians 2, 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, or the Jews in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Watch this. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, listen to me now, are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Grab this. I'm going to say it in the Amplified. But now in Christ Jesus, verse 13, you who once were so far away through by in the blood of Christ have been brought near. Listen to verse 14. For he is himself our peace, talking about Jesus, our bond of unity and harmony. Watch now. He has made of us both Jew and Gentile one body and has broken down, destroyed, abolished the hostile dividing wall between us. Look at me. Jesus came to unify Jews and Gentiles. Why? See the rectangle you drew? Outside the rectangle, write down courts of the Gentiles. Write it down. It's very, very important, saints. Courts of the Gentiles. You couldn't bring your offerings to God because you're a Gentile. God had a covenant with Abraham and his people. So this is as far as we could go. We could stand on the outside like this and look as the Jews looked at us and went, you can't come in here, because if a Gentile went through the gate, into the courts, right there, it's called the courts. Listen. The courts of the women. That's what that area is called right there, the small place. The courts of the women. If you went in there, you would be killed as a Gentile. And the Jews flaunted this. They looked at the Gentiles and called us goyims. They said, goyims, you dogs, you cow, you nothing. Religion will make you arrogant if you don't watch out. So the Jews looked down their nose. Hence, listen to me. That's why you understand when Jesus says, there was a certain man on the road to Jericho that was robbed and beaten and left half dead in the road. And a certain priest who could go into that area, who could worship God and give God his lamb. Gentiles couldn't give lambs. It's a Jewish thing. A certain priest looked at the man in the road and passed by on the other side. Not to be outdone, because if your mentor is doing it, you're going to do it. The Levite does exactly like the priest. Sees the dead man and says, I'm too busy. I just came from the temple. And he walks on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, that's a Gentile. A afakasi, a mixed individual. Half Jew, half Gentile. He saw the man and had compassion on him. Got his hands dirty, delayed his progress, but he took care of him and took him to an inn. Listen to me. After he's in the inn, he told the innkeeper, you know me, I'm a good business guy. I always pay my bills. Here's so much money. Take care of him. If I owe you any more, when I come back, I'll pay it off. See, that's what Jesus did for us. He found us half dead in the street. Found us half dead in the street, saints. Now we go back to the Temple Mount. I'm going to show you something. See that? What I asked you to do. So here, listen, all of us, we're all Gentiles. And we all, you know, they sing in Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We couldn't go into the house of the Lord. We could go to the house of the Lord. God made provision for us to be on the outside. And so you would stand there and you'd look. You know what kind of feelings you got when you cannot go into God's presence? Because God is the God of the Jews. That's all they preach. God's the God of the Jews. 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 And for hundreds of years, they shut out the Gentiles. And they said, you want to live among us? Huh? You want to live among us? Our God's greater than your God. Because he only loves us. I don't love you. And the Gentiles would put their head down. And God watched the arrogance of his called people. That's what God tells us. Don't laugh at somebody when God chastises them. Because God will check your heart and say, I will take you through the same thing. Okay, so now you have your rectangle, don't you? Okay, inside of that rectangle, I want you to divide it like by a quarter. So draw a line. So you have a rectangle, listen to me, you have a rectangle, you have two areas to enter into. So you have the courts of the Gentiles out here, you have the courts of the women inside that quarter area. Okay? Now watch, I'm going to show you something about God. Now, this is as far as women could go. Because the next place, you'd have to ascend steps to take it to the courts of the Israelites. Only men could go there. So when you go up these steps, the men would bring the lambs here. The women couldn't go. The women could only look from afar now and watch their husbands. And if their child is old enough, their sons ascend the steps to take their lambs. And there the Levites and the priests were at. Sisters, if it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't have access. Don't let anybody tell you Christianity shuts down women. Christianity gives you access. So we went from the courts of the Gentiles for us on the outside. The Jews walk through the gate, look at us, and they go into the courts of the women. In the courts of the women, this is where if you had to go and show yourself to the priest, you were a leper, you had to go in there. Only Jews, not Gentiles, receive healings. Only Jews. Exodus 15:26, God spoke to the Jews. He says, if you listen to me and don't do what the Egyptians did, I will bring no curse upon you. I am the God that healeth thee. But we sing it, I am the God that healeth thee. And we sing it as Gentiles. Don't even understand what it stands for. It's not for us, it's for them. But boy, I'm going to spiritualize this puppy and say, but you know what? Through Jesus, I can receive that. Amen. Everything is through Jesus. Write this down. Okay, so now we're at the courts of the Israelite. The women are looking. First, the Gentiles were outside. The Jews went inside. Now the women stay here and the men could go. But that's as far as men could go. Couldn't go any further because only the Levites now could go beyond the courts of the Israelites. Only the priests could go beyond the courts of the Israelites. So you had the place area called the most holy place. Write that down. So now you went up the stairs. You have an area. Then you draw a line. Most holy place. And then you draw another small area. It wasn't large. Just a small area. It's called the Holy of Holies. You know who could go to the Holy of Holies? Only the high priest, and only once a year. These arrogant Jews were using this against people. Our God. So they use what is called a scapegoat during the time of offering up sacrifice on Yom Kippur. And the scapegoat would be taken out. But you see, there were two goats that were taken. Number one, one goat when they had two things to draw. One word would be Adonai. Adonai means this goat is set apart for God. The other one would be Azazel. Azazel means for the devil. The scapegoat. That's the scapegoat. Okay, now watch. One will be killed, one will be driven out. Driven out, and the people would hush, would watch these people. Only the Levites now could touch. Listen to me, saints. You know how blessed you are, you can bring your offering. And you can bring it right to God yourself. You don't need to come through me. You don't need to come through the pastors. You come to God on your own. I get back to Ephesians 2:14. Well, I'll show you something here right here. Watch this. Ephesians 2:14. For Jesus is our peace, our bond of unity and harmony. Watch. He has made both Jew and Gentile one body. Watch. And has broken down, destroyed, abolished the hostile dividing wall between us. There's no more courts of the Israelite saints. There's no more courts of the Gentiles. Everybody got access to the Holy of Holies. Hebrews 4:15-16 tells us. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. For what? We bring our sacrifice. We bring to the Lord that which He has blessed us with. Good grief. We are blessed. But here's the problem. The church has become arrogant just like the Jews. These are church. And we put our names in front of the church. And we put our ethnicity in front of the church. And we shout out those who are not like us. If you're not Hawaiian, this is a Hawaiian church. You're not black, this is a black church. You're not Hispanic, this is a Hispanic church. You're not Native American, this is a Native American church. You're not whatever ethnic group, that is wrong. Because the Jews did the same thing to God. And God says, I gotta go call somebody else. I'll give you an insight. Because our time is almost up, God's gonna go back to the Jews. But this is what He wants the church to do, to redeem ourselves. He wants us to repent to the Jews for 2,000 years of atrocities done to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you might not have done it, but people with the cross certainly has done it to the Jewish people. God says in Romans 11, I have not forsaken my people. Listen to me. We're the branch, right? We draw strength from the root. The root don't draw strength from the branch. But sheer arrogance makes the branch think, they need us. They need us. Let me tell you something right now. They don't need us. We both need God. Are you learning something here? So, for those who say first fruits is only for the Jews, I couple by responding by this statement. So's the blessings of Abraham. Now, how can you claim the blessings of Abraham, church, if you don't know what God said? But the feast is not for us. We're not Jews. We don't have to keep Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. Yes, we do. God does nothing except He does it through the feast, because the feast was a type and shadow of Jesus. And when we begin to see revelation is being given to us, don't be arrogant and turn your mind off to it. It costs churches. I think my mama didn't even know this. My own mom didn't know this. My dad doesn't know this. My papa didn't know this. Why is God releasing this to me? We're coming down to the close of time. And if we don't pick up on this, hence people been in church 30, 40 years saying, boy, I never heard this kind of teachings before. This is all new to me. It's not no fault against you, but this is the time for it to be released. So, Ephesians 2:14 says, He is our peace, He being Jesus, is our peace that hath made both Jew, Gentile one. Watch this. Look at your rectangle again. And broken down the middle wall of partition that was between us. You cannot be arrogant, church. Look outside to the Jews and say, you guys blew it, cuz. We got it now. Now, you know the church has been guilty of that. Anti-Semitic. We said, you folks killed Jesus. You said, let his blood be upon us and our children and our children's children. You know what killed Jesus? Sin killed Jesus. But we had somebody to blame, and we don't want to blame ourselves. We blame the Jews. Listen to me, saints. The Jews didn't kill him. Rome didn't kill him. We all killed him. Because all have sinned. You get something out of this? Following God's plan. The plan is for Brother Sam. The plan is for Sakiusa. The plan is for Pastor Wayne. The plan is for Minister Ka'oi. The plan is for everybody. Male and female. I don't want you to build up, like, you know, I'm giving now and I'm above you syndrome. I caught a glimpse of this, so therefore God's going to bless me because I'm giving more than you. No! No. Let me ask you a question. Why are Jews so blessed and they're not even saved, saints? Isaiah 66, verse number 8 tells us, can a nation be born in a day? God did. In one day, May 15, 1948, he birthed and rebirthed Israel. After 2,000 years of being no nation, God birthed them. League of Nations says, okay, we acknowledge you. Next day, six Arab nations, outnumbering this Jewish people, attack them, and they get soundly defeated by the Jewish people. Don't tell me God's not on the Jew side, saints. And they haven't yet accepted Jesus Christ. A high percentage of the Nobel Peace Prize winners are Jews. More comedians are Jews. Great actors and singers, Jews. They don't have that many people in this world. Why are they so blessed? Einstein, Jew. Marx, Jew. Come on, somebody. Why is God using this people? Not through with them. He's not through with them. Paul says in Romans 11, our job as the church is to make them jealous that their God who forsook them in their mind picked up somebody and we can worship him like they should have worshiped him. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You go and look. You go to New York City, all them jewelry stores are Jewish owned. And most of them has a sign that says, whatever, and sons. Because they know their generation is blessed. Oh yeah, they went through persecution. Oh yeah, they went through all of, you know, the 12 million, 8 million, how many were killed over in Europe? Yes! You know what? General Eisenhower, when he went there, I just watched this documentary. General Eisenhower said, turn the cameras on. Turn the cameras on! If there is ever a generation that says this never happened, I'm gonna go back and report this. Look at what Hitler did to the Jews. So you hear the Arabs saying, that never happened. They fabricated that. No, he killed 6 million plus Jews. And a whole lot of Christians too. See, let me tell you something about God's people. We all will face persecution. And we all will face tribulation. So this one part of Christianity that wants to hurry up and get the rapture and get out of here so they don't get hurt, ain't never going to happen. Remember the Jews. What makes us better than them? We have a better covenant. Oh, really? But why is God so falling in love with Jesus? I mean, so falling in love with the Jewish people. Listen to me. There is one city on earth that commands more attention than any other city. It's not Paris, France. It's not Moscow. It is not Washington, D.C., Miami, Florida, or it's not even L.A. Not Honolulu. It is Jerusalem. God says, that's my city. My city, not the Jew city, my city. So when the Palestinians say it's ours, we'll divide it. When the Arab says it's ours, we'll divide it. When George Bush says we will divide it, God says, touch it and see what I'll do to you. Go ask Britain what I did to them. You ask Pharaoh what I did to him. You ask Nebuchadnezzar what I did to him. Ask him. You're touching my land. That's not their land, that's my land. God says the mountains of Israel are my land. Who does George Bush think he is? Going to divide God's land. You are not that strong. Ask Ahab. When Jezebel took away Naboth's land and killed Naboth, check this out, saints. The story looped the world. When Queen Liliuokalani stood before the Congress after the overthrow, she said, hey, listen, You know the story in the Bible about Ahab and what he did to Naboth? This is a Hawaiian woman speaking this out now. She says, if you don't, America, give us back our land, the God who stepped in to help out Naboth is going to do the same thing for us, and you're going to get it. Look at America today. Look at America today. 114 years later, look at this once great nation. Look at our children. Look at the posterity of our nation. Look at the young people. Look at the schools we send them to. They need metal detectors. Look at the drive-bys in our once peaceful neighborhoods. What happened? We became arrogant with God. And you thought we would have learned a lesson. We're telling God now, we don't want your name on our buildings. We don't want it on our currency. We don't trust you. In banks we trust. God says, good, I'll shut you down. I'll shut you down. Now the church is as arrogant. Because they've traded faith and ministry for industry. So now, all we're doing is multi-leveling God. And come on the latest pyramid scheme, and we'll take it to a higher height. And we show you why you can have your bling bling and serve Jesus Christ still. We can tell you why you can do whatever you want to do, as long as you just give to God, He gonna bless you. No, He won't. This is why I speak like I speak, because there is another gospel being preached. And unfortunately, it's believed by those in the church. We don't have to be like the world to draw the world. We're supposed to lift up Jesus Christ. Because if we lift Him up, He will draw. We don't draw nothing but flies. So here's point number one. Remain focused on what God shows you. Remain focused on what God shows you. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's see what God has to say concerning us. Are you ready? Verse 18. But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Now you say, yes, but correct exegesis of Scripture tells us this was spoken to the Jews. Yes. So what are we going to do? We're going to do an eisegesis of this Scripture and say we will spiritualize this to apply it to ourselves, which God says it's fine for us to do. The Scripture may not be to us, but it can certainly be for us. We know from whom it came and to whom it was given, but now we will spiritualize this and say, I'm under covenant because I received Jesus Christ. And now Jesus has given me the ability, according to Galatians chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 3, to be blessed. Now watch, let me show you something right here. Watch this. You need to stop wasting time with critics. You know this information I'm giving you right now? Information breeds confidence. When you become confident, 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And when you pray like that, people think you're arrogant. No. Information breeds confidence. So we bring you information so that there is transformation. Your life will no longer be the same. I don't care if you just got saved yesterday. You apply this to your life, you have the same rights as we do. What do you have to do? Remain focused. You know, Jesus had all these critics. They never stopped Him from going to the cross. Do you know every critic will not stop from defaming your name? They're going to do everything they can to maul you. But know that God's for you. Paul says, no one stood with me, but the Lord did. You might come down to that in your walk with the Lord. No one stood with me, but the Lord's here. David says, my parents forsake me, but the Lord, he'll pick me up. Once again, on this road to heaven, to the celestial city, it's wide enough for only two people, you and the Lord. It's not a super highway. So don't be looking around for extra passengers to be walking up with you. It's you and Him alone. In Christ alone, I place my trust. Don't trust anybody else, because they're not going to walk this one with you. You got to know I'm walking this road, but not with arrogance, with confidence. Why? Because information breeds what? Confidence. Here's point number two. We're almost through. God's gifts have value. Do you believe that? James chapter 1, verse 17. Let's go look at that. James chapter 1, verse 17 declares, check this out, saints. Listen. Listen to this. Amplified. Every good gift and every perfect gift, free, large, full gift, watch, is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light, in the shining of whom there can be no variation, rising or sitting, or shadow cast by his turning as in an eclipse. What does this mean? When God blesses you, that gift he gives you has importance. Not only has it importance, it has purpose and value, and it's all for your life. Oh. Saints, listen to me. Listen to me. What God is sharing with us right now is purely intended to bless us. You know you're going to retain everything. Go get this CD and listen to it again. Just say, I got to listen to this again. Because God is talking to us and he's saying, listen, you don't have to be like mommy. You don't have to be like your daddy. You don't have to be like anybody else. Don't even be like Abraham. I want you to be you. Just me and you. Let's walk together. But the only way this is going to happen, we've got to be in agreement. When you see that he's God and you're not, hallelujah, you're getting smart. When you understand you're not broke, you just have a temporary cash flow problem. But it's going to be all right. I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. All times I'm going to bless him. I bless him with $100. I bless him with $10. I bless him with $1. I bless him with no dollar. I will bless the Lord at all times. But I don't have gas in my car. Good. Don't drive. Revelation. When will we start to believe in God again, saints? See what happens when we work overtime, work side work, all this kind of stuff. We have all this money. And then you come to a point where you become arrogant, where you think, hey, I can do whatever I want to do, get what I want to get, go with it. Don't do that to God. The only reason God allows us to get extra, this is why first fruits come in. The only reason why God allows us to get extra after we've given him the first fruits is because there are other people you're going to have to bless downline. There are other people downline that needs to be blessed, saints. God gives you wealth not so that you become wealthy, but that you understand someone else in God's kingdom needs a blessing. So God's going to use me. You can be a conduit. You can be a funnel. Just don't be a tank. Come on, somebody. You can be what? A conduit. You can be a funnel. Just don't be a tank. How are you going to empty a tank unless you siphon it? Don't let God siphon out of you. He wants somebody who can pour themselves out. Point number three, saints. Point number three. Write this down. Prosperity is your benefit. Jeremiah 29. Prosperity is your benefit. What does that mean? Very simple. Watch this. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. First of all, he says, for I know the plural thoughts that I think towards you. You think God has only one thought for you? Plural. You haven't even tapped to the second thing yet. He got many things for you. You know, you sit back and say, well, I wish they taught us this before. Hey, forget before. He's teaching you this now so that you don't have to worry about tomorrow. So that you start, see, when you hear this word, it should so move you that you want to implement it right away. And so, you know what? I hear this. I believe it. I'm doing it right now. And I would start quickly calculating. Man, if I didn't give first fruits before, I'm going to calculate how much I need to give. So now, here we are in this month of what now? April. And you think, well, you mean first fruits supposed to be given at the beginning of the year. Do I go back to the beginning of the year? Yeah, you go back to the beginning of the year. And say, God, forgive me for not giving you this. I didn't know it. Don't hold it against me. But I want to make up. You know, the Bible says, When one wants to redeem their tithe, you pay 5% more. Or a fifth part more. That's why he said you pay a fifth part more. You think, oh, this tithe was not good. Listen to me. If you want to make up for something that you didn't do right, God says give extra. That's what he's telling you, give extra. So now you went up to 15. In your mind, tithe is only 10. But give another 5 towards that because you want to make it right. That's what redeem means, to make right. It's time we make things right. The preacher shouldn't be the only blessed person in church. The whole congregation should be blessed. How can I have and my brothers have not and I give them nothing? But you know there's preachers like that. They're flying around, they're driving around, they got all the things, got a beautiful house. You can't even go to their house. Most people in mega churches can't even meet their pastor. That's not God. That's as arrogant as the high priest and the priest in the days of the Jews. If you want to see me, it's going to cost you. Now don't get me wrong, saints. Everybody should have access to the pastor. But give the pastor room to breathe. Don't always be in his or her face. Use wisdom. If you see them with someone, leave them alone. Let them do their thing. Let them get things done. We all will have access. I think I'm a very accessible pastor. You come to any one of our services, you can come talk to me. Drop by the office if I'm there. You can talk to me. I'm not going to hide from you. I like talking to you. But realize God has called me to do a lot more than you are doing. So if you're taxing my time, that means I cannot do a lot like I should be doing, right? Listen. Watch this, what the Lord says. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Now let's think of some of the thoughts. Let's read some of the thoughts he has for us. Watch this. God says he has thoughts of peace for you. When's the last time you enjoyed peace? Come on, tell somebody. When's the last time you enjoyed peace? Then he says, I don't even have thoughts of evil for you. This is God talking about you. What else did he say over here in verse number 11? We're not even out of verse 11 yet. He says, listen. I have thoughts to give you an expected or a good conclusion. You know what he told Abraham? Oh, you'll live till be a good old age. Then you shall sleep with your fathers. Dr. Summerall told me, he says, the Lord spoke to me and says, Lester, when your hair turns white and you have taught all the young men, then you come home. He said he was 50 years old. He says, I ain't white yet. See, you're not over at the age of 50. Come on, somebody. When he turned 60, he says, I still got to travel. At 70, he was still traveling the world. At 80, he says, I am getting a little bit more white hair now. Grecian formula 44. No, 2 years later, he completed his work and he went home with the Lord. See, God will tell you, when you're in a good old age, I'll take you home. Providing you do what you're supposed to do. Don't stay around any longer and get sick. Then you start chopping off your limbs. And disease wrecks your body and discourages people. He's a man of faith. Look at him. Look, he's going through this. I'm going to go through the same thing. If he's a man of faith, why is he with all that sickness? Oh, you should have gone home when you're supposed to. But you know, we want to stick around a little longer. Man, finish your job and get. Smith Wigglesworth walked right up into church. He always preached, walked up to church. Tremendous man of faith. But on his way off to the loft where he's supposed to speak in, this over in England, he saw a young woman, and he says, how's your mother? Because he prayed for her. How's your mother doing? And she said, my mother is worse ever since you prayed for her. She got worse because of your prayers never working. It so impacted Smith Wigglesworth. He walked up to the loft. He's in good health since. Sat down. He meditated on that and slipped off into eternity. When they came to call him to go up to preach, he was gone. What was the last thing he heard? Someone telling him, your faith means nothing. And here's a man that touched the world through faith. Every preacher can have a bad day. That's why it's important for preachers to guard their ears, guard their spirit, because there are killers out there coming to gun the preacher and so discourage them that they'll never go on anymore. Dr. Summerall said, he didn't die because he wanted to die. He thought, I failed God. Smith Wigglesworth? You don't hear them preaching about that too much about him, huh? But that's the truth about Smith. Oh, Roberts, tremendous man of faith, right? Notice he has a hearing aid. He's still in the flesh. Stop looking at flesh. Hear God in them. Hear God. Jimmy Swaggart was on a table. He had a heart attack. Donnie told us this. Had a heart attack. And he went flatline. He died. Donnie was with his children over at ORU University. And they called him and said, Donnie, daddy is not doing good. Get home. Got home. Went to the hospital. Brother Jimmy had died. They were praying. They called the saints. They prayed. Jimmy Swaggart got up. When Donnie walked in, he said, Dad, what's wrong? He says, what's going on, Donnie? They looked at him. They said, he died. But he came back. That's the kind of God we serve. Everybody said, Jimmy Swaggart was once like Samson. He had everything. Then he was skin-balled by Delilah. You know what it says in Judges 16? And Samson's hair began to grow. Oh, no, he didn't derive his strength from his hair. His strength came from the covenant with God. Somebody said, yeah, but the guy killed himself. Look at this. Look at the prayer. He said, oh, Lord, let me die with all these Philistines. The Bible says he killed more Philistines in that one day than in his entire 40 years of judging Israel. But watch this. Watch this. In Judges 11, it talks about Samson. In the Hall of Faith, Samson is mentioned. You go figure. I'm not advocating suicide. But what I am telling you, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God has good thoughts for us. And I'll close right now. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you what prosperity is. Watch this. Write this down. Prosperity is simply having enough of God's supply to complete His instructions for your life. Having enough of God's supply to complete His instructions for your life. Watch this. Enough of God's provisions to accomplish His commands and expectations of you. That's when you know you prosper. Not when you have a Bima, a Lexus, you have a Benz, you know, you have 24s. No, that's not prosperity. Prosperity is when you have enough to do what God's called you to do. Beloved, 3 John 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Father, I thank you for this word today. Bless the ears of the hearers. We honor you for what has transpired. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for taking us higher. We honor you with our first fruits, our offerings, and our tithes. In Jesus' name, amen.